and welcome to Venture Talk. My name is Moses Casaro, and I'm the Director of Venture Capital here at Startup Rutland. We are an early-stage venture capital fund and an accelerator operating in partnership with Generator, one of the larger accelerator and venture funds in the U.S. Startup Rutland is an initiative launched by the Chamber and Economic Development Authority of Rutland, Vermont, better known as CEDAR. And the applications for our upcoming cohort operated by Generator are currently open, and I'll leave a link to that in the description below. Now, this video will be more so an introductory video, and I'll be explaining what the podcast format is and what it will be going forward and what to expect and so on and so forth. So originally, I'll start off with how the podcast concept truly came about. So it truly came from two different avenues, one being, bottom line, we needed a podcast for the Startup Rutland Fund in itself. And in addition to that, prior to this, I was building a startup called Pitch It. The concept of Pitch It, or how I explained it, was Shark Tank meets TikTok, a video sharing platform where founders can upload their elevator pitches. We had about 1,000 founders that waitlisted, a little over 1,000 founders that waitlisted to be featured at the launch of the application, and a couple hundred venture capitalists as well as angels. And we thought, what better way to maximize value for all parties involved than to do it in a podcast format where a larger number of user base can view it. We're not tied by a 30-day retention on an application. And truly, if the bottom line goal is to just help a VC connect with the founder and vice versa, this is a more an organic way of doing that. So the format moving forward will be, I'll be inviting a VC on every podcast as well as a founder. The VC will tell their story and how they became a venture capitalist, and the founder will do the same, and then the founder will get to pitch to both of us, including myself, as well as the guest investor or venture capitalist that we have on board, in an opportunity to either secure an investment or just to be able to evaluate your pitch and get feedback. That being said, at the tail end of the podcast, I will go over Venture Talk session, which will be essentially going over news, startup-related news, any tech we're excited about, any investments that happen that we might be excited about, etc. So for today's video, I'm going to try to keep it brief. We're not going to be bringing a founder or a VC on this episode. So essentially, we'll go over the Venture Talk session of going over a few topics. So for today, I chose State of Venture Capital in 2024. My predictions and what I think will come out of that, as well as ZERP era. We'll touch up on that briefly and then go into AI applications or what I would like to see come out of the vertical in this year. So starting with the state of the venture capital in 2024, as we saw, Carter reported last year that 15% of, I believe, all startups that report to them exhausted their runway and essentially filed for bankruptcy. Now, this is not a surprise if you are in the industry, and I think that is something that's going to carry over into 2024. We will see that happen this year as well. That being said, just to better explain it, for those of you that don't know, ZERP era stands for zero interest rate period era, and as we all know, that era is over. But what we also need to understand that the ZERP era valuations are also a thing of the past. What I mean by that is, there are startups that raise during that period that raise more than they should have, more than they could have in any other climate. Maybe they were forced to grow faster, and then they hired faster, then they had to fire faster. No one went to default alive state, and even the ones that couldn't get fit, quote unquote, at the time. And then we're seeing a lot of startups that there were founders that were sitting on dry capital. They were getting pressure from the LPs, and they just followed the spray and pray method, which happens all the time in our industry, at least. And now we're starting to see a lot of those startups and a lot of those VCs pretty much fall out of the loop. That being said, I do think that it's a terrific climate to be building a startup if you are questioning building a startup right now. Not for a number of reasons. One being, because of the tech layoffs, there's a lot more talent in the market. The talent is a lot cheaper. With AI, we're already talking to founders. I spoke with a founder last week that went from a 12-person team to 6-person team and a Copilot subscription, or a GPT subscription. So in my opinion, I think what we'll see happen a lot more is, yes, shrunken valuations. Startups will raise lesser amount of money, but they'll need to hire lesser folks, and they'll have the same amount of runway and probably hit the same level of EBITDA numbers. So we'll see smaller teams come out and work in sync and build products that would be competing with larger products and larger companies and entities that have a lot of overhead. So while I think the big tech companies will still continue to dominate, we're going to start to see a lot more smaller entities raise a little bit of money and produce products that are truly a value add for the end user. And I think that's one of the things potentially we're going to see. And I think that one of the other reasons that we are seeing this conflict, or one of the other side of the coin, is I have a friend right now, actually, who is in the middle of a conflict with his board, because his board consists of early stage investors and late stage investors. He raised a Series A round, I believe, two or three years ago. And his early stage investors, the seed round investors, they're saying, this is great. Everything looks good. Your month over month growth seems to be there. We're in a steady incline in users. And your MAUs are going up, or your DAUs are going up. What features should we be working on? Let's add an AI this, and let's add this, and let's add that. And then their later stage investors are like, we can't hit the multiple that we thought we would hit. Let's just look for an exit. And the reason that's truly happening is because now even these later stage investors need to realize that while we're starting to see the multiples return, we're not going to see ZIRP era valuations return. It's like I mentioned, Instacart private markets was valued at $40 billion, went public at a $7 billion valuation. And I still think it was an incredible move. I do believe the shrunk valuations will bring more activity to the earlier stage rounds, and not just bring more activity to the earlier stage rounds. I think we're also going to see a lot more M&A activity, obviously this year, as well as these startups struggle to either find an exit or go under. But that being said, great time to be building a startup. Same for venture funds, great time to be raising a fund. These are the times that we saw companies like Airbnb and companies like Uber came out of the last downturn. And then we saw all the legacy funds then come out of it as well. But founders just need to realize that if you raise it at a larger valuation, it will be a down round. And you need to be talking to your previous investors and your current investors and your team and making sure that you are taking all the right steps necessary to move forward on that. So that's my prediction of 2024, the state of venture capital, and how the ZIRP era plays into that. We are seeing the delayed effects of the ZIRP era as we're starting to see these startups die in last year and this year. But it's truly an aftermath or an aftershock of that. Now, going over to the AI vertical and the applications or the concepts that I'm truly excited for in 2024, or more so, large action models. I think the next step in, or at least for me, in my opinion, what I'm truly excited about is being able to automate tasks and actually move away from GPT chatbox interfaces into stuff, startups like adept.ai, which will give you a chat box or a search box on top of your browser. You can type in, book me a flight from XYZ here and book a hotel. And one of the examples would be, we saw something, a device came out called Rabbit AI, which is an operating system. They're claiming it's the first LLM-powered AI operating system. They created a physical device. It's, just, I believe, this big. I wasn't able to order one the first day. They sold out, I believe, 10,000 units in under 24 hours. It was only $199. While it seems super impressive, I do think what I'm more excited about is seeing the existing operating systems incorporate AI and large actionable models into that. So an example of that would be having AI-powered Siri agent, right? And might be an update, or might be it replaces the existing Siri. And then I should be able to pick up my phone and be like, hey, Siri, call me an Uber, order me food, get my groceries, order an Instacart, et cetera, from voice command. And the integration would just make it better with all the other iOS devices, would make it better than getting a standalone RabbitOS device. But obviously, I haven't used the product, so I can't speak much on it. Another similar example would be Humane, I believe, is a company. They did a real good presentation for their product. It's called the AI Pin. It's essentially a small device. It looks like a smartwatch without the straps on it, slightly bigger. You can pin it on your jacket and your clothes. It's a voice command, small LED screen. You can tell it is essentially the same things. Call me an Uber, X, Y, and Z. Again, the reason I think that would become redundant is once our existing operating systems incorporate the same and probably better features, AI-powered features, I think that a lot of us will be, it would be redundant to carry an additional AI pin if I can just use my phone or my smartwatch or my Apple Watch to be able to do the same thing. That being said, again, Humane AI is a product that I personally have not used yet. But what ends up happening in most instances is, I always give this example, when iPhone first came out, it had a flashlight in the video app or the camera app, but there was no option to turn the flashlight on regardless or like outside of it. And someone built an app because it had a flashlight. It just bypassed it, and the application would allow you to turn on your flashlight whenever you want. Apple saw that. It became one of the top applications in the utilities app, and it was probably a feature that was requested a lot, and they incorporated it. Same thing with the scanning documents. There was an application on Apple back in the day. I believe it was $4.99. And you could scan documents that Apple saw was doing great. And then they incorporated that as a feature in Notes. We saw the same thing happen in OpenAI. They saw that everybody's building startups around these wrapper startups, quote unquote, around feature gaps in their existing services. And then essentially they came in and they said, okay, here you can build custom GPTs and we'll streamline APIs, et cetera. So that is something we will see. So a lot of these new early products that come and make something super incredible and super impressive, we'll probably see our existing operating systems incorporate that as well. Another one that I'd be super excited about is essentially Microsoft and OpenAI are one team. And I believe this may be a comeback of the Microsoft mobile operating system. And potentially the desktop one will also get the same features. I remember the original Microsoft phones that were like those yellow, the colorful ones with the live action cube as for the icons. It looked pretty cool, but then they had to pull the plug on the operating system. And I think this may be their comeback to have an LLM, OpenAI LLM-powered operating system, which would be a great competitor to, I'm sure, Google's Bard would power their next Android operating system, and as well as Apple's going to have their internal thing that they're already working on. So that's one of the things I'm super excited about. I'm also super excited about the Apple VR AR headset, but for different reasons. I know this one's going to have a hour-long battery life, and essentially it'll be wired, and then the next one probably won't be wired, and then the battery life will go up an hour every time the new update comes out. But I think what this will truly do is it'll make it more of a household name to be able to use these devices, and people will understand it better. Our first portfolio company, Tacitly, here at Startup Rutland, they're working on a healthcare product in the AR, VR space as well. And what I was having a conversation with the founder there, Jeff, and explaining the same thing of how this is an industry that you're looking at. While, yes, your product is getting better and you're capturing a larger market, but the adaptability of AR and VR as a whole is also growing. So it's a larger pie getting larger while your product within that is starting to capture a larger market as well. So it's almost like that example that the industry is evolving with the tech. And that reminds me of an example of how human beings evolve with the tech that we create. So essentially, we create products first, and then our products recreate the way we live. That's what we do this for. That's what gets me super excited when I wake up every day. I am excited for 2024, excited to work alongside some of the most talented folks. That is all for today. Thank you guys for tuning in. I will leave the link to the accelerator program in the description below, as well as contact information for potential founders and investors that may be interested in coming on the podcast. And I'll see you guys in the next one. Thanks.